speeding the demographic transition. The world is not locked in a demographic straitjacket, but is instead in a transition, albeit one that is stretched out over many decades and with large differences across regions. The core idea is known as the demographic transition. A society begins with very high mortality rates, especially of young children, and very high fertility rates. The population is roughly stable because the high fertility rates are offset by high mortality rates. As an example, suppose that the TFR is 5, but 3 of 5 children never reach adulthood. Then the net reproductive number would be 1, despite the high fertility. Note that the high fertility and mortality rates are shown not by the TFR and deaths per 1,000 births, but by what demographers call the crude birth and death rates, measured as births and deaths per 1,000 of total population. According to the theory of the demographic transition, the child mortality rate declines ahead of the total fertility rate. For example, the spread of immunizations, improved food production, safer water supply, and availability of anti-malarial medicines and antibiotics cuts the mortality rate from 3 out of 5 children to 1 out of 5 children, still extraordinarily high from the perspective of modern public health. Only later, with a lag, does the total fertility rate come down commensurately. In the interim, labeled as stage 2, the crude birth rate exceeds the crude death rate by as much as 30 per 1,000 at the maximum gap. At that point, the population will be growing rapidly, indeed at 3% per annum. A population growth rate of 3% per annum leads to a doubling of the population in 23 years. Roughly speaking, a 3% annual growth rate corresponds with a net reproductive ratio of around 2. Let's take the case of Kenya during 2005 to 2010 as an illustration. The under 5 mortality rate has declined to 1 in 10 children, 104 per 1,000, for the period 2005 to 2010 in the UN Population Division projections. This corresponds to a crude death rate of 12 per 1,000. The total fertility rate remains high at 5, which translates to a crude birth rate of 39 per 1,000. The difference between the two, 39 minus 12, results in a net annual population increase of 27 per 1,000, or an annual growth rate of 2.7% per year. The net reproduction rate with a TFR of 5 and an under 5 mortality rate of 104 per 1,000 is just a sliver under 2, 1.96. The upshot of demographic transition theory is that the total fertility rate declines with a lag, leading to a massive one-time bulge of population as the society transitions from high fertility and high mortality to low fertility and low mortality. At both the start and the end of the transition, the overall population growth is low, but during the transition, the population soars. The world has been in that transition, claims the theory, for the past 200 years. In 50 years' time, or earlier with good policies, the world will complete the transition and enter an era of population stability. Note that in stage 4 of the transition, the birth rate dips below the death rate. This would be the case if TFR remains below the replacement level. That is possible. In that case, the world's population would begin to decline after nearly 3 centuries of bulge. There is nothing in the laws of demographics that would prevent a gradual and voluntary decline in overall world population. A long-term decline of the European population has perhaps commenced. One key question, which drives the policy judgments of the next chapter, is why the decline in fertility lags behind the decline in mortality, and what can and should be done about it. There are 3 kinds of answers, all contributing to a realistic picture. First, fertility choices are built into the culture. The age of marriage, the social expectations of the number of children a family should have, the beginning of the childbearing age, the use of contraception, the birth spacing, and the like, are cultural as well as economic choices. Societal norms and expectations play a role in determining the choices. Even when the fundamental determinants of fertility choice change, for example, a steep drop in child mortality, the resulting change in actual fertility practices might take a generation or more. Second, there can be a recognition lag, during which the parents are unsure that child mortality rates have really declined. The parents maintain high fertility rates just to be sure. Once the reduced mortality is firmly believed, then the fertility decline picks up speed. Third, and perhaps most important, there is nothing automatic about the transition of fertility following a decline of child mortality. Fertility choices represent the active decisions of households, including differing views and interests of fathers and mothers. The continuation of high fertility rates in the face of falling mortality rates might reflect a rational calculation by the parents, given the socioeconomic conditions of the household. When families live by subsistence farming, and children provide labor and old age security, and where the mother and daughters have few alternative means of livelihood, high fertility rates may be accepted as the preferred option for women, or at least the decision imposed on them by their husbands and the community. Moreover, contraception may be prohibitively costly for a family living at subsistence. Healthcare and family planning advice may be nowhere to be found.